Good morning. Stand with us as we sing.
You.
welcome to come and bring your offering down. Count it as worship to sing both praises to our God and to also give of our tithes. And as we do, I'm going to sing this song called It Is Well. It's one of my favorite songs that just brought me so much comfort during the lockdown in 2020. And knowing that through it all, my eyes are on Him. And I would just love this to be a prayer for you that you sing to our God through the week, through it all, through everything that's going on in your life, that you just fix your eyes upon Jesus. He is so good. So as we, before we do that, let's just pray for our offering. God, we thank you that we can give to you, that we can give to New Life Ministries as the ministries that we partake in every week. I thank you for the privilege it is to be standing in your presence this morning. May we not forget how important that is. I pray that everyone here can just bring their offering to the Lord and they can lay it down at your feet. And I pray that they can also lay down their burdens and their worries. They can give it all to you. In Jesus' name, amen. And when earth quaked before, moved by the sound of His voice, seas that are shaken and stirred, can be calmed and broken from my regard. Through it all, through it all, it is well. you, Lord. I pray over all of the worry and the weariness. Let them bring it to you. Let it be washed away. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated.
Good morning, everybody. So, my name is Janet, and I'm glad to be up here today and seeing you all out there, although with the lights shining, it's not always easy to do that. But I'm glad that each one of you is here to join in the service, and also the people who are joining us online. If you are here for the first time, we want you to really feel specially welcome, and we want to know who you are. And in the seat in front of you, in the pocket there, you'll find a Connect card, and you can fill that out and drop it in. The offering box is up at the front during our fellowship time in a little while. Or if you are online, you can go ahead and create an account and engage in the public chat and get to know the people you're worshiping with. So that's how they're going to do it. So we have a few announcements. One of them is about something that's been on, then it was off, then it was on again, and now it's actually on, and that is the marriage night. It was on and off because of the pandemic. And we're excited to be able to present an evening for reflecting on relationships on Friday. Pastor Nathan and Marvin Bravo will make presentations, and there'll be other couples reflecting on their relationships, as well as fun games and food. So come for a reflective night out. And you're also welcome to invite your friends to join you, and this event will be in person and live streamed. Now, when you're teenager, there are sort of dates you're sort of getting excited about, like, am I old enough? I'm almost old enough to get my driver's license. Then it's, I'm almost old enough to vote. And then it's sort of like a long gap, many years before you get another date like that. Well, if you've reached the date that you're now old enough to be considered a senior, we have something for you. And that is a meeting on Wednesday at 10:30 in the upstairs room. And we invite you all to join us and listen to members of our group as they share about how their parents and relatives were involved in World War II as members of the Dutch resistance and aiding Jews and things like that. And yeah, we're going to meet upstairs. There'll be coffee and cookies as well. Now, I want to invite Megan Apollo up, and she's going to talk to us about our November serve. Come on. Why isn't the little green light? There we go. Yeah, that's what I was doing.
Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Nice. Hi, New Life Church. My name is Megan Apollo, and for those of you who don't know me, I have been attending New Life since before I can remember. I'm here today, like Janet said, to announce this month's focus of serve, and it's super exciting to me as it's kind of near and dear to my heart. So New Life this month will be supporting the Ministry to Seafarers. You may be wondering, Megan, the Ministry to Seafarers is in Vancouver, and I thought the goal of serve was to serve things in our community. Well, look at what you're wearing right now. Look at the lights that are here in the building. Look at everything on the stage, the microphone I'm holding, and probably the phone that's in your pocket was brought to you from Seafarers. Almost everything in this room was made at different parts of the world, brought here from different parts of the world, and brought to us by people from around the world, and that's the Seafarers. Our community would not have what we have right now without them. As they live most of their lives on ships, they also do not have community. They're outcasts to theirs because they're working the low and poorly jobs. and live on the ships. As Christians, it's our jobs to help the outcasts, and so by partaking in this month of serve, we are loving our neighbor, even if they may not seem exactly like our neighbor. So, how can we serve the ministry this month? Christmas is coming up, and every year the Ministry to Seafarers does Christmas at Sea. The seafarers are working hard, even through all of the holidays, and so the ministry brings on Christmas gifts for all of the seafarers with things that they need. Not only is Christmas gifts a great opportunity to serve them with little things that they need that aren't provided to them by the shipping companies, but it's also a great way for us to bring up the conversation of the true meaning of Christmas and spark some light into their life for the day. So things that we need and things that would be awesome that you guys could bring in are toothpaste, toothbrushes, moisturizing cream, shampoo, razors, lip balm, good new warm men's socks, dental floss, small shower gels, toques, thank you, Merry Christmas, and God bless cards, or hand-sewn bags to put the gifts into. The complete list of these items and the sewing pattern for the bags can be found at newlifecrc.ca. Cash donations are also always welcome, as we do a big purchase at the beginning of December for all the gifts that we do not have yet. And yeah, if you have any questions, feel free to come contact me after the service. Taylor can probably put you in connection with me too if you have any questions. And now we will be watching a short video on the ministry if you still don't understand what it is. So thanks.
The first time when I started, I didn't understand how exciting this ministry is. But after a month, I realized that there are people on board, and they are from all over the world. So for 3 months, I met seafarers from 32 different countries. And I realized that this is a mission.
People hear about strikes in the ports, or riots, or crime in the port, but they don't know that there are also chaplains. And actually, it's an amazing opportunity for spreading the gospel and show the love of God, because people from all around the world is coming to you. You don't need to send missionaries. All languages, all tribes are coming to the one spot.
It's all Filipino crew. This is our first voyage, maiden voyage, from Japan.
Oh, the ministry, I think, is vitally important, because these people, both men and women, they come ashore, they've been at sea for a long time. Most sailors are very receptive because they're just thrilled to be off the ship for a few hours.
We are showing unusual kindness when they are trying to tell the guys, we are here for you. Nobody cares, but we do care. It was like amazing, you know, each day an internship brought something new, and every time you visit the ship, another lesson for you to learn.
I am convinced that no matter how much technology, the human aspect is still absolutely essential. So ship visiting, somebody cares for you, somebody's interested in you. And then still also seafarer center, especially here, there's nowhere else to go. This is their place, this is their home, this is their safety.
So sometimes, even though we don't know each other, we just meet at the port as strangers. But as time goes by, somehow strangers become friends.
Thank you.
If you're new or visiting, you can go either way with your children and somebody will help you once you get there. If you haven't checked in your child when you arrived this morning, please go with them and get them checked in. So earlier today, earlier in the service, we took an offering, and the offering was for New Life Ministries. So during the fellowship time, you're going to be able to see some of the events that have been taking place recently, which are part of New Life Ministries, such as Switch Life, Cadets, GEMS, and Women's Connections. And we thank many of you who've stepped up to help in those ministries this year. So now is the time for the 3-minute fellowship time. Introduce yourself to a guest, greet others, get coffee, and watch the video.
Lord bless you and keep you, make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. Lord turn his face toward you and give you peace. Lord bless you and keep you, make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face toward you and give you peace.
Well, while you're getting a seat and your coffee, it's time to pull out our series mascot here, our famous ship. Nothing like what you just saw in the video earlier. This is our mascot in our series, short little series on relationship or sink. And we're challenging and considering, reflecting on ourselves and the relationships that we have, because sometimes our relationships are as flimsy as this ship. And especially in tense times and in divisive times, so much anxiety and frustration. In those kinds of times, it's difficult to maintain those relationships. And so we're asking ourselves, what's going to buoy up these relationships? What's going to keep them afloat? What's going to keep them together? How can we strengthen our relationships? So last week, we looked at that sense of belonging, how important it is to have that sense of belonging in order to maintain our relationships. We commented that our relationships, our sense of community, isn't going to depend on whether we agree altogether. It's going to be dependent on the fact that we belong together and we belong ultimately to God. Another thing that makes our relationship float, as it were, is trusting each other. Our relationships work only when we're able to trust. Now, in church, especially, I suspect, we are quick to talk about trusting in God, and thereby we dismiss our obligations or our challenge to trust one another. And I suspect it's probably in part because when we talk about trusting God, we're really talking about believing in God. And then believing simply becomes acknowledging that God exists. But to trust means to place our lives in someone else's hands. And so when we simply focus on trusting God, it's easy for us to then let our relationships go unexamined, unchallenged when it comes to trusting one another. What we're going to see this morning, though, is that trusting God is in fact closely related, closely connected, absolutely connected, in fact, to our ability and our willingness to trust one another. Even when it's undeserving. So let me read a story from 1 Kings chapter 17, right in the middle of the Old Testament, as 1 and 2 Samuel, 1 and 2 Kings go through the history of Israel and talking about all of the kings, some kings who trusted in God, some kings who didn't trust in God. We're at a stage in 1 Kings 17 when we meet up with a king who did not trust God but actually trusted only in himself, King Ahab. And along comes, unannounced, unintroduced, a prophet of God, Elijah. And this is a story about Elijah and the contrast between trusting in yourself and what it means to trust in one another and in God. Elijah comes on the scene. He declares, proclaims the word of God that there will be a famine in the land. And for Elijah, his provision comes miraculously from God, but then it all dries up. And then we get the story that we want to reflect on this morning. Sometime later, 1 Kings 17, sometime later, the brook dried up because there had been no rain in the land. And then the word of the Lord came to him, "Go at once to Zarephath in the region of Sidon and stay there. I have directed a widow there to supply you with food." And so he went to Zarephath. When he came to the town gate, a widow was there gathering sticks, and he called to her and asked, "Would you bring me a little water in a jar so I may have a drink?" And as she was going to get it, he called, "Oh, and bring me, please, a piece of bread." "As surely as the Lord your God lives," she replied, "I don't have any bread, only a handful of flour in a jar and a little olive oil in a jug. I'm gathering a few sticks to take home, make a meal for myself and my son, that we may eat it and die." Elijah said to her, "Don't be afraid. Go home, do as you have said, but first make a small loaf of bread for me from what you have, and bring it to me, and then make something for yourself and your son. For this is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says: the jar of flour will not be used up, and the jug of oil will not run dry until the day the Lord sends rain on the land." And she went away, did as Elijah had told her, and so there was food every day for Elijah and for the woman and her family. For the jar of flour was not used up, the jug of oil did not run dry, in keeping with the word of the Lord spoken by Elijah. It's an incredible story about trusting other people, trusting others, trusting one another. And when you read this story, on the surface of things, it seems like everything is wrong. We're in the midst of a famine here, that people are desperate to find food, to just survive. And at the beginning of the story, part that we didn't read, God is providing miraculously for Elijah. That's the way we would love to have it, just for God to simply supply us, and we don't have to worry about anybody else. Nobody else has to worry about us. God, just take care of me and let me survive. But God takes that all away for some unknown reason. And then Elijah is left either to himself or to complete dependence on God's instructions. And God's instructions are for Elijah to travel, you can see it on the map, to travel from Tishbe across the Jordan River, way to the coast of the Mediterranean Sea, into foreign land, into Phoenicia, into a place where Elijah's life would not be safe, in fact. And that's where God calls him to say, "I'll provide for you over there. Just go on over there. Oh, and meet up with a widow, no less." Now, in all of this, God is asking Elijah to trust in a woman who doesn't have a thing to provide for Elijah, to trust someone who apparently isn't able to do anything and provide anything for Elijah at all. This widow is not wealthy. Widows were known to have no status in that society. This woman has no provisions, hardly any for herself, let alone to pass along to Elijah. And in a famine, Elijah is called to trust such a stranger in a strange land for safety and for food. All of this trusting takes place in front of a widow who herself is probably used to being taken advantage of. And yet she too then must trust Elijah. That what Elijah claims, "Oh, don't worry, God will provide," will indeed take place. That, as we read this story, you've got to try to imagine what that might be like. Simply to trust completely in a stranger. This is at the beginning of an account about the story of King Ahab and Queen Jezebel, who in fact was from the area nearby Zarephath. And Queen Jezebel hated Elijah, threatened his life, in fact. So going there would have been dangerous for Elijah. And yet, King Ahab and Queen Jezebel are ruling over God's people. They're the very people that ought to have been trusted. But Elijah is called to trust a complete stranger for God's provision. This indeed is a lesson on trust, on trusting one another, on trusting somebody else, even when you have no clue whether that trust is trustworthy. It's another part in making relationships work, this business of trust, of trusting one another. Trusting is essential. It's essential to survival. It's how we're created as social creatures, to trust one another. We're created to thrive in the midst of community that is made up of relationships that only work if you trust. Stop trusting and your relationships sink. We happen to be living in a time and in a world where distrust is rampant. And then the challenge for us in the midst of our relationships is to put ourselves out there to trust one another, to trust each other. In fact, that ought to be the witness of Christians, that they bring trust into the relationships that connect us within community. The consequence of not trusting is fear. The consequence of not trusting is loneliness. Two things that are growing exponentially in our society: fear and loneliness. Everybody's walking around scared of what the future might bring, scared of what somebody else is going to do to us. Lonely. Because the more we are afraid, the more we pull inward, the more we say, I'm just going to do it on my own, the more we just say, I can only trust myself. Just driven by fear. And the result is more loneliness. And yet we have a way then to shed light on our community, the light of the gospel, the light of peace and joy in community, by trusting others. I think in our context, that might mean that we don't have to make everything into some kind of conspiracy. There's a lot of talk about that these days. I think we have to learn to just put that aside. Don't constantly doubt the motives of others. Again, as I said last week, sometimes I think we're just dealing with way too much information. And it causes us to doubt the motives. We hear something of an inkling of why somebody might be doing something, and it feeds our suspicions, and suddenly we just doubt all the motives of everybody. We stop trusting. Don't live in a state of cynicism that constantly has you down in the mouth about how those in authority or those in power or anyone whom you have a beef with is trying to get at us. That kind of cynicism destroys any sense of community that we're ever going to have. Trusting means putting yourself in the hands of others because you're dependent on a web of relationships. Like it or not, it's how we are created. It's how we're meant to thrive. It's how we will flourish together in community. Sometimes that means trusting unlikely people in unlikely circumstances. Now, of course, we could spend a lot of time in talking about, well, how do you discern what's worth trusting or who is worth trusting? And there's lots to be said in terms of being careful and being wise. But that doesn't dismiss the fact that we are meant to live together in trusting relationships. And we've got to keep working at that. It's about the attitude with which we approach the rest of the world. Are we going to live with that sense of cynicism and doubt and fear and just pull into ourselves? Or are we going to dare to trust? Now, we said trusting means putting yourself in the hands of others. How's that going to happen? Ultimately, it's going to happen because of our trust in God. When you know, when you have the confidence, when you trust that God will indeed take care of you, then you have the confidence to put yourself in the hands of others. Or in other words, ultimately, your ability to trust others reflects your ability to trust God. In our story, Elijah had to trust in the widow. For that day, a very unlikely scenario. Not just even because she was poor and didn't have anything even to offer Elijah, but because in that day and age, a prophet of God, no less, a man of some kind of leadership stature in society would never, ever stoop to the realm of depending on a woman, on a widow, who had no means, no social security, absolutely nothing. Widows were so often taken advantage of in that culture. It seems like an impossible scenario. And yet Elijah puts his trust in her. Because ultimately, he had to trust that God would provide. Again, imagine standing in front of a stranger for whom all that you knew was someone who couldn't be trusted, expecting that God would place you before someone who can provide for you. We so often say we trust God because we expect him to place ourselves in the midst of wealth, or place ourselves in the midst of safety, or place ourselves in the midst of power, in the midst of status, of good reputation. But what about when he places us in relationship to someone who's poor, someone who's down and out, someone who's on the fringe, someone who's on the margins of life? Will you trust? Elijah has to trust in God to tell the woman her flour and her oil will not run out. Imagine that. The woman says, all I've got is a little bit of flour, a little bit of oil. Elijah has come from the south, and he's traveled all the way up to this strange land, likely a place he's never been to before. He doesn't know this woman ever, and suddenly he's like, uh-oh, did God make a mistake or what? And And he confidently says, don't worry about it. God will provide. Your oil, your flour is not going to run out. In other words, trusting God is at the heart of the issue. And that is indeed how we're created. Trust is at the heart of our very existence before God. And so in the beginning, when God created human beings, trust was the main issue. God said, I'll provide for you. Just don't eat from this one tree in the garden where everything else is yours. Have at it. And then Adam and Eve turn around. And they think to themselves, maybe, just maybe, God is holding something back from us. And they don't dare to trust. And ever since, we've been trying to manage on our own, even while God places people in front of us and in our path to provide for us so that together we can flourish. And we say, no, I don't trust that. Listening to the word of God today is a lesson in trust. And here I think is our takeaway from this story. A story about who are you going to trust? First lesson is trusting requires radical love. Radical love. Elijah had to learn to love a stranger and someone who had nothing to give to him, nothing to offer. He had to learn to love that person in order to trust them. And so for you and I, our trust in others and in God is going to require that same kind of radical love to dig deep down into our heart and soul and say, I will love. Not just because somebody can do something for me, not just because somebody can offer me something, not just because it's good for me, but I will love. Because I'm going to trust whatever God has placed or whoever God has placed in relationship to me so that together we can flourish. Radical love. A second lesson is that trusting requires humble surrender. Elijah had to surrender to a poor widow of no status, no reputation, no stature in society. He had to surrender his will. He had to surrender all control. He had to surrender all determination, all the self-determination that he thought he might have had as a man of God, even simply following God. He had to surrender it all and trust a poor widow. For you and I, trusting others means that we simply are not in control. That's perhaps one of the pieces that the pandemic has taught us, that suddenly parts of our lives that we've depended on thinking they'll never disappear, disappeared. Can be taken away from us. Beyond our control. Trusting others means we're not in control. No matter how many resources we have that we think can direct our lives and set us on a path for success or completion or arrival or safety, can all be taken away. Humble surrender. Third, trusting requires renewed confidence. Renewed confidence. Humble surrender sounds scary enough, and it makes us begin to wonder, will we ever have fun again? Will we ever be able to enjoy life again? Trusting places us in that sense of renewed confidence. Look at Elijah. He has to trust in this poor widow he must have been trembling in his boots. But then that initial trust in an unlikely person builds into strong assurance. And then at a climax in the story, Elijah says to this woman who has nothing, "Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid." And he confidently assures the woman that her flour and her oil will not run out until God sends rain again. Fear prevents us from trusting. We're afraid because we can't do it ourselves. And then if we don't trust, all that's left for us is to be afraid, constantly looking over our shoulder. It makes us hold on tighter to our own life. The lesson we learn from this story is that at some point, we have to let go for Christ's sake. We have to let go. And in that initial step of trusting again, we gain confident assurance that maybe simply begins with a smile, a little laugh once in a while. And then we can begin to approach life with goodness, with the assurance that we can enjoy, that we can play, that we can laugh, that we can smile. And that can bring joy into the lives of others who are desperately living in fear and in loneliness. And it comes from learning to trust. The great commandment is to love God and to love our neighbor. And in our day and age, more than ever, it's going to require that we trust. Like loving, we can only trust God in His world when we trust others. You say you love God, love others. You say you trust God, trust others. Because salvation cannot come from yourself. It doesn't come from your own will, your own determination, your own strength, but from a God who in the most unlikely way, the most apparent weakness, yes, even from what appears to be foolishness, that God restores us to life and to life abundantly. Let's pray together. Almighty God, we admit we're living our lives scared because so many changes have interrupted the usual expectations of our lives. And so we're living in fear. And God, that just makes us nervous and anxious. And it destroys our relationships. Makes us nasty people. And so this morning, God, we pray for your Holy Spirit to bring healing into our lives so that we can begin to trust again. And in trusting one another, that we can learn what it means to put ourselves at complete surrender before you. Almighty God, our confession is that you give us life. We profess, God, our trust in you. So help us to be obedient to your call to trust one another. Give us the wisdom, Father, to do that well. Give us the boldness to trust, because, God, our lives are rooted in you. your great provision and in your great promise that you give us life and that you give it to us abundantly. And so may we rejoice in your goodness and in your faithfulness. God, put a smile on our face, even in the hardship of our relationships. Put laughter in our hearts, God, so that people will look at us and say, how can you live so joyfully in a world that seems to be falling apart? And we'll lead them, God, by trusting in them. We'll lead them to trusting in you, because you are a great God. Thank you, Father. Thank you for your life that you breathe into us. We pray this in Jesus' name.
Would you stand with us? My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. Hope is built on nothing.
joy and peace as you trust in Him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Go as trusting people. Go in the joy of our great God. Amen.